Welcome back. You're listening to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Don McGlashan's been a busy man this year. Apart from finishing his own album with his band The Seven Sisters, he put together his first stage collaboration in years with director Tor Fraser, stepped in on guitar and vocals for an SJD tour, and even managed a highly enjoyable get-together with his old band, Blam Blam Blam. I asked him whether it was all just paying the rent or whether it was the variety that appealed.
I've got to work. In most years, I'm dividing time between writing songs and playing with my band, or ducking off to do a film score or a TV score or something like that. And this year's it's the first year for quite a long time that I haven't had any of that TV or film stuff lying around.
Which means more performance.
Yeah, it's good, and it's because it means that I've got to initiate some things, and I've had a bit of time to initiate things. So I got a commission last year from WOMAD New Zealand to just do anything I wanted, just a set, an hour long, could be anything. And I think they thought that I might do some kind of world music palaver, and I can't stand that sort of stuff. So I had this idea in the back of my mind to do a sort of story, like an old Blurter or Red Mole show. And so that a big chunk of the year has been taken up putting that together, and we put that on at the Taranaki Festival.
And this is Colossus of
Rhodes. Colossus of Rhodes, yeah. Yeah, so that's been a ball, actually. Co-wrote that with Tor Fraser. And I've been working with my band, been able to put more time into my band and get started on the next album at a blinding clip for me, because normally I'm a few years between albums, but I'm about three quarters of the way through this next one.
Why was it so much quicker this time?
If I got to do a TV series, so that's really 6 months of work, and I can't really concentrate on anything else. And so it's been great not to have anything like that. It's been a lean year. We won't be, I'm not going to list myself on the stock exchange just yet.
Is it a bit like that? Yeah, things like the TV series commissions are like a day job.
Yeah, well, yeah, they are, and I'm lucky that I've never had to do anything that I haven't really enjoyed working on. And I always say that if you can be bothered collaborating with other artists, you know, filmmakers or theatre directors or whatever, you really should, as a composer, as a sort of songwriter, musician in this country, you really should, because it's a great way to meet other people, find out what's similar about the way they work. It's not for everybody. I've got mates who need to put a glass bubble around themselves and emphatically not collaborate with other people, so that they can keep their own work, keep the flame burning, really. But I'm lucky in that I go through phases when I'm like that, and phases when I'm not, phases when I quite like being a bit more sociable.
Mm. Yeah, well, sociable is a good word for it, actually, because you've done quite a lot of that this year, haven't you? You've had that creative relationship with Holly Smith, which I spoke to her, and she was really grateful for your input there.
Yeah, that was
you,
yeah,
you've
was
got
really
the enjoyed. As you put it, mixing and mingling with SJD.
Yep. I wouldn't have made that first album without Sean. It seems to have been a kind of relationship where we both kicked each other along, and because he gets down in the dumps, as do I, every so often about, you know, when I first started working on it, I would ring him up and every so often and say, I've got no idea what I'm doing. I really don't know whether I'm ever going to make another. Play another note and put it out there in public, and if I don't, I don't know whether anybody's going to care. And we could both self-pity for New Zealand at the Olympics. You know? And he would say, welcome to self-made albums. You know, welcome to putting your own name on your project, and which is really cool, because he's younger than me. He's been in the business a lot less long than I have, but he's very wise, and so there were times when he could basically sort of say, pull yourself together, and there are other times when I could say that to him. And thankfully, we didn't get down in the dumps at exactly the same time.
I think you, like quite a few other New Zealand songwriters, seem to have this thing of every now and then popping out a song that leaps out from the rest and kind of has, you know, something special about it. I mean, I think Dave Dobbin does it too. Have you got any theory on which ones really stick with people?
No, and I think you'd be sunk if you thought like that. The best reason for keeping on doing this sort of job is habit, and is the good feeling that you get from sitting, or the good feeling that I get from sitting down with a pencil and a guitar and getting an idea started. It's an addiction to that good feeling. And at the end of a session, sitting with a guitar and a pencil, you have to be excited. I mean, your heart has to be beating faster. And so you have to be in love with whatever the current thing is that you're doing. And if you sat there analysing it, sort of thinking, well, you know, I've written 8 songs and, you know, these are okay. This, you know, 1 to 6 are okay. 7, that's, you know, that's the really good one. It's kind of like, it would be kind of like, favouring your children unfairly. I mean, you've got to love them. I think that's what you do, and also you got to also be aware that when something really resonates with people, when a song really resonates with people, it can have to do with a bunch of other factors that are out of your control, marketing, timing, other people's input. You know, I mean, for years I didn't value anybody from a record company. I was this whole, you know, the record company is the man, and they're not to be trusted, and they're to be abused whenever you can. I mean, I'm still quite happy to abuse them because I think they quite like it. But I've come to realise that every so often you put a song out and somebody in the record company lights up and goes, I'm going to run with this and I'm going to really make it work. And I've had instances of that happening to me. I think Bathe in the River was like that. It wasn't just that it was a good song. It wasn't only that it was a great performance. It was a great performance that Holly did. But I think a bunch of people decided to jump on board and do good work just to sell it.
Actually, with that song, maybe that's a good example, because it took some real belief there. Because I think Radio couldn't stand it.
Yeah, Radio said, there is a radio station. I can't remember which one it is because I'm not really well versed in this in New Zealand. But there is a radio station that says we won't play anything that's got horns in it. They initially said it's gospel, forget it. It's slow, forget it. You know, there's a girl singing it. We don't like that sort of stuff. We like guys. You know? So who knows? It took quite a lot of work from the record company, from EMI, and I think that really helped.
On another note entirely, there was the recent Blam 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 show at the King's Arms, which I thought was fabulous. It really sounded like... didn't sound like a revival show, sounded like a living band.
Yeah, well, I mean, how does a revival show sound? I've got no idea what a...
Well, I just actually thought you'd done something with the songs.
Tim is fond of reminding me and Mark that we only lasted about 20-something months. It wasn't even 2 years. And the songs were changing all the time during that period. So there wasn't really a traditional way of playing There's No Depression in New Zealand, or Bystanders, or, you know, there was we only played those songs, you know, 15-16 times live. The later ones, the ones that we'd just written before the band stopped, and so I guess coming back to it, it's not a case of reliving past glories, because, you know, they weren't that glorious to start with. You know, we just loved being in a band, and we and the energy's still there when we get together. And Mark puts it really well. He says it's great to be back in a band where you can show off, because all of us have since then we've done not so much Tim, because Tim's still been doing his solo stuff, but Mark and I have both been in bands where you play where you get minimal. You know, you try to essentialise what you're going to say, and there's a bunch of other people and they're very tasteful and you don't want to step on anybody's toes, and, you know, Mark playing with Jordan and me playing with the Mutton Birds, they're not show-offy things really, and for me to be able to get behind a drum set and just go crazy, and for Mark to be able to, you know, play lead, I think it's a recipe for a lot of energy when we get back together.
What about the themes of those songs? Interestingly, yeah, Thomas is Guilty, I thought, if it had been written today, it would have been written about Ahmed Zawi.
Yeah, it was a strange feeling singing that song and singing He Cost This Country Money and There's No Smoke Without Fire to an audience where, and just the week before, Zawi had been exonerated and Deborah Manning was out in the audience. It was a really weird feeling. I mean, I was kind of ashamed of that song when I wrote it, because what I was doing was picking up a style that Richard von Sturmer had, which is like heavy, ironic kind of let's get up as many people's noses as we possibly can type style, and I chose to do it with that subject, and I think I went too far. I don't think it's a great song particularly, but it was really fun to do, and we wrote it kind of fast, and but a lot of the songs were kind of like that, and I think there's not enough of that around. I mean, not to blow our own trumpet or anything, but it felt really natural in those days to stand up and just sound off about something that you were angry about, and put that anger quite quickly into a piece of art.
So what's coming up, say, the next 6 months? You're going to finish the album. Are we going to see any more Blame shows?
We have so much fun that we will do some more. Well, I think we've got a bit of a policy that we don't want to go out and do a tour for money, you know. So I think probably what we'll do is we'll play parties. So anybody out there that wants us to play a party, everybody's a baby boomer, so you're all turning significant and unmentionable ages. So we could do that. We're up for that. And apart from that, I've got my album. As I say, I've got about three quarters of the way through it. So we're going to be going out at Christmas with Little Bushman, and we're doing a tour around the resorts. Apart from that, I'm working on a film script with Harry Sinclair. He's come back. He lives in LA now, but he's come back a couple of times over the past year, and we've spent a block of time working on a feature film. And next year I will be scoring a feature film that Tor Fraser's directing, so I'll be working on that really soon.
And that was Don McGlashan coming to a party near you. Thank you very much for listening. I've been Graham Reid.
And I'm Russell Brown. If you want to hear that show or any of the previous ones, you can go to publicaddress.net/radio. That's it for us. Thanks to NZ On Air.